picture this. You're strolling through a South African vineyard, right? Sun shining, you see those old vines, the ones with roots deep in tradition,
Beautiful.
producing some truly incredible grapes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got these fresh new shoots bursting with, potential reaching for the future. It's a pretty good picture of where the South African wine market is right now, kind of this blend of the established and the exciting new. And that's what we're going to be uncorking today
Love it.
in our deep dive
Yes.
into the current state of the South African wine industry.
Okay.
We're going to be looking at the 2025 market review by Vinimark. Now, they're a leading distributor, so their data is like getting a peek behind the curtain to see what's really happening, both for, the winemakers and for wine enthusiasts like you.
It's an industry with a lot of potential, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And one of the interesting findings that jumped out at me from the report was about consumer confidence in South Africa. It's at a 5-year high, which seems like fantastic news for wine sales, right? But then they also mentioned that the consumer confidence index is still negative, like it's at negative five. So how do we kind of reconcile those two things?
Well, I think of it almost like a vine that's slowly recovering after a harsh winter. We've been in a slump, right? And this climb, even to negative five, is showing that there's some growing optimism. It means that people are feeling a bit better about their finances, even if they're not quite ready to break out the top shelf champagne just yet. But this cautious optimism, it translates into real buying habits. Premium wines, the ones priced above 80 rand, those are outpacing the sales of the more budget-friendly options.
So people are willing to spend a little bit more for a quality bottle.
Exactly. They're looking for unique experiences, looking for that something special. Now, don't get me wrong, this doesn't mean the end of the affordable wines. They're still the backbone of the industry, just like those sturdy old vines we talked about at the beginning. But it's clear that that South African wine drinkers are becoming more discerning. They're looking for quality, and they're willing to pay for it.
This kind of reminds me of another trend that the report highlighted, which is the rise of bag-in-box wines.
Oh, interesting.
What's driving that? Is that just a fad, or is it something more to it?
I definitely think it's more than a fad. Bag-in-box is having this surge in popularity. And it's fascinating because it seems to tap into like a few different consumer desires, right? So first there's the convenience factor. It's easier to store, to transport, even to pour. Then there's the affordability. It often offers better value per liter, right? Compared to bottled wine. And of course, there's the sustainability angle. The packaging is lighter and more compact, which results in a lower carbon footprint.
So it sounds like bag-in-box is attracting a new type of wine consumer.
Possibly.
Maybe someone who prioritizes those values over the traditional image of a glass bottle. Do you think these bag-in-box enthusiasts might eventually graduate, so to speak, to premium bottles as their palates kind of evolve?
That's a great question. It's one we're gonna have to watch unfold, I think. It's certainly possible that bag-in-box is creating this gateway, right, for new wine drinkers who might then develop a taste for those higher end bottles. But it also speaks to a broader shift, I think, in consumer preferences, a move away from the formality, and maybe even the dare I say, the snobbery that has sometimes surrounded wine, right? Maybe we're seeing a new generation of wine drinkers who are less concerned with tradition and more interested in convenience and value and sustainability.
It's a fascinating development for sure.
Absolutely.
Now, the report also paints this kind of daunting picture of the South African wine market. It's incredibly crowded.
I can imagine.
There are over 6,804 wine products on the market, but only a tiny fraction of those, just over 5%, are actually driving most of the sales. So what does that mean for winemakers, especially those who are, trying to break into the market?
Well, it's a fiercely competitive landscape, that's for sure. To put it in perspective, just 361 wines are responsible for a whopping 80% of sales. And what's even more striking is that a big chunk of that market share is controlled by just four South African brands.
Wow.
So this really underscores the absolute necessity of differentiation.
Yeah.
In a market that's saturated with options, you know, your wine needs to stand out, right?
Right.
What makes it unique? What's its story? Mm. Why should a consumer choose your bottle over the, you know, the thousands of others on the shelf?
So it's not enough to simply produce a, you know, a good Chenin Blanc or Shiraz anymore.
Right.
You need a compelling narrative.
Yes.
Something that resonates with the consumer.
Mm.
Something that makes your wine stand out in the sea of bottles.
Exactly. Think of it like this, right?
Yeah.
If you were launching a new wine today, what would be its unique selling point?
Yeah.
What story would it tell? What would make it irresistible to consumers?
Right.
You have to give them a reason to choose your bottle, to connect with your brand. And that brings us to one of the key takeaways from the report.
Okay.
The concept of premiumization.
I was really intrigued by that term.
Yeah.
What exactly does premiumization mean in this context? Is it just about slapping a higher price tag on a bottle?
No. Premiumization is about elevating your wine from just a simple drink to an experience, right? It's about creating this sense of exclusivity and prestige around your brand, crafting a story that makes your wine more than just a beverage.
So it's about telling the story behind the wine.
Yes.
Highlighting the unique terroir,
mm.
the winemaking process,
yeah.
the people involved.
Exactly.
All of that contributes to building that premium image.
Absolutely. Consumers are increasingly seeking authenticity and connection. They want to know where their wine comes from, who made it, and what makes it special.
Right, right.
This is where the power of storytelling comes in, right? Yeah. Think of it like the difference between buying a generic t-shirt and investing in a handcrafted garment with a unique story behind it.
It's like giving the wine a personality.
Yes.
A history, something that the consumer can connect with on a deeper level.
Right.
It's about making it more than just a drink. It's about making it an experience.
Exactly. And this is especially crucial in a crowded market like we're seeing.
Yeah.
Where standing out is essential. But premiumization isn't just about storytelling. It's also about delivering on the promise of quality.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of crafting a captivating narrative and then backing it up with a truly exceptional product.
So it's a two-pronged approach.
Yeah.
A compelling story and a quality product.
Right.
But how do you balance that that premium image?
Mm-hmm.
with the need to also appeal to a wider audience,
yeah.
especially in a market where consumers are becoming more price sensitive?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It's a delicate balance that that winemakers have to strike. On the one hand, you want to create this sense of exclusivity and prestige around your brand,
right.
something that justifies a higher price point.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you don't want to alienate consumers who are looking for value.
So how do wineries navigate that tightrope? How do they appeal to both the discerning connoisseur and the casual wine drinker who's looking for a good bottle without breaking the bank?
Well, it's about diversification and smart brand management, right?
Okay.
It might mean offering a range of wines at different price points, each
right.
with its own unique story and target audience.
Mm.
It might mean creating a sub-brand that specifically caters to a more budget-conscious consumer.
Okay.
Or it might mean focusing on specific niches within the market,
right.
like organic wines or wines from a particular region.
So it's about being strategic
yeah.
and understanding the nuances of the market.
Exactly. And it's about recognizing that not all consumers are created equal.
Right.
Different people are looking for different things in a wine, right?
Yeah.
Some prioritize quality above all else,
yeah.
while others are more concerned with price.
Mm-hmm.
Some are drawn to specific varietals or regions, while others are more open to experimentation.
Right.
The key is to understand these different segments and tailor your offerings accordingly.
It sounds like data plays a crucial role in all of this.
Absolutely.
The report emphasizes data-driven decision-making.
Mm.
And I'm curious, how do you see this changing the relationship between tradition and innovation in winemaking?
That's a fascinating point.
Yeah.
Traditionally, winemaking has been a very intuitive process
yeah.
passed down through through generations, mm-hmm. relying on experience and a deep understanding of the land.
Right.
But with the rise of data analytics, winemakers now have access to a wealth of information that can inform their decisions.
Yeah.
From you know, grape selection and fermentation techniques to packaging and marketing strategy.
So it's about using data to enhance and refine those traditional practices.
Yes.
Not necessarily replace.
Yeah. Exactly. It's about finding that that sweet spot where tradition and innovation intersect, where the wisdom of generations meets the insights of modern technology.
Yeah.
Data can help winemakers optimize their processes, identify new opportunities, and better understand their consumers.
Right.
But it's important to remember that data is a tool,
right,
not a replacement for human intuition and creativity.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like having a compass to guide you.
Yeah.
But you still need to know where you want to go.
Precisely. And speaking of direction, the report also highlights another key area where data is playing a crucial role.
Yeah.
Packaging innovation.
We talked about the rise of a bag-in-box wines, but I'm curious about other innovations in packaging that are shaping the industry.
Yeah.
What are some of the trends you're seeing?
Well, there's a definite move towards more sustainable packaging. Winemakers are exploring alternative materials like recycled glass, lightweight bottles, and even biodegradable options.
Interesting.
There's also a growing focus on convenience with innovations like single serve portions and resealable closures.
Right, right.
And of course, there's the aesthetic aspect.
Yeah.
Packaging plays a huge role in influencing purchasing decisions. So winemakers are getting increasingly creative with their labels and bottle shapes and overall design.
It sounds like packaging is becoming an extension of the brand itself, a way to communicate the wine's story and connect with consumers on a visual level.
Absolutely. The packaging is often the first thing a consumer sees.
Yeah.
So it needs to make a strong impression, right?
Right.
It needs to reflect the quality of the wine, appeal to the target audience, and stand out on a crowded shelf.
Right.
It's a complex equation, but data can help winemakers, you know, make informed decisions about everything from material choices to label design.
Yeah, I can definitely see how data would be helpful in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
It's about taking the guesswork out of the equation,
right,
and making strategic choices based on real insights.
Yeah,
but it's also fascinating to think about how these innovations in packaging are changing the way we experience wine.
Mm.
It's not just about the liquid in the bottle anymore.
Right.
It's about the whole package, literally and figuratively.
I think you've hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Wine is becoming more than just a drink.
Right.
It's becoming an experience, and the packaging plays a key role in shaping that experience. It's about creating a sense of anticipation and delight and connection from the moment the consumer you know, picks up the bottle to the last sip.
Well, speaking of sipping, all this talk about wine is making me thirsty.
Me too.
But before we grab a glass, let's shift gears a bit.
Okay.
And delve into the world of wine marketing.
Interesting.
How are wineries adapting their strategies to stand out in this increasingly competitive landscape?
Yeah, great question. Seems like we're both ready for a taste after all this talk about data.
Yeah, you know, all this data's got me thirsty.
Me too.
But yeah, before we indulge,
yes,
let's talk about how wineries are actually reaching consumers in this you know, in this evolving market, right?
Okay.
Marketing strategies have to adapt just as much as palates do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it seems like wineries are really embracing digital platforms, especially social media.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're creating these virtual tasting rooms, you know?
Okay.
Bringing the vineyard experience to people wherever they are.
Yeah, it's much more than just, you know, posting those pretty pictures of the vineyards.
Right.
Yeah. Wineries are using platforms like Instagram and Facebook to connect directly with consumers. Mm. They're sharing these behind-the-scenes glimpses into the winemaking process.
Okay.
They're offering these interactive experiences like, you know, virtual tastings.
Wow.
They're even hosting, you know, Q&A sessions with the winemakers themselves.
That sounds so much more personal and engaging than just, you know, seeing a bottle on a shelf.
Yeah.
Surrounded by, you know, hundreds of others.
Right.
But with so much content out there, how are wineries ensuring their message is actually getting through, you know?
Right. It's a constant challenge, right? But, you know, data is playing a key role here as well.
Okay.
Wineries are using analytics to track engagement, understand what content is resonating with their audience,
right,
and refine their strategies accordingly.
So they're able to see what types of posts are generating the most interest.
Exactly, yeah.
What time of day people are most likely to engage, mm-hmm, and what demographics are most responsive?
Yeah, it's like having this real-time feedback loop.
Right.
Allowing wineries to constantly adapt and improve their marketing efforts.
Data-driven marketing. Who knew?
Right.
It's fascinating to see how technology is transforming even the most traditional industries.
Yeah.
But I also sense this push towards experiences that that go beyond the digital realm.
Hmm.
The report mentions this rise in experiential marketing.
Oh, interesting.
What exactly does that entail?
Well, think, you know, wine pairing dinners hosted at the vineyard, blending workshops where you can actually craft your own custom blend, collaborations with other lifestyle brands, and even, you know, partnerships with local chefs to create these unique culinary experiences around the wine.
So it's about immersing consumers in the world of wine.
Yeah.
Engaging all the senses. Sight, smell, taste, touch.
Absolutely.
Even sound.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
These multi-sensory experiences, they create lasting impressions, right?
Right.
They turn the wine from just a drink into a memory, into a story.
Mm.
People are more likely to recommend a wine or a winery that they have, you know, that they have a positive emotional connection with.
Yeah.
It's like turning your customers into brand ambassadors.
And in the age of social media, those recommendations carry a lot of weight.
For sure.
The report also emphasizes the power of word of mouth marketing.
Mm.
It's like the modern day version of a trusted friend recommending a good bottle of wine.
Exactly. Online reviews, social media recommendations, influencer marketing, it all plays a significant role in shaping those purchasing decisions.
Mm-hmm.
People trust the opinions of their peers and those they admire, sometimes even more than they trust traditional advertising.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's not just about what wineries say about their wines.
Right.
It's about what others are saying as well. Mm-hmm. It's about building a strong brand reputation and fostering positive relationships with, you know, influencers and key opinion leaders.
Mm-hmm. It's about cultivating that trust and credibility over time.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Right.
And that trust is built through consistent quality and transparency and authentic engagement.
Right.
It's not a quick fix. It's a long-term strategy that requires ongoing effort and dedication.
Yeah.
It's about showing up consistently and delivering on your promises.
Absolutely.
It's about building a relationship with your consumers, not just selling them a product.
Right, for sure.
But how are retailers adapting to these evolving consumer preferences?
Mm.
We've talked a lot about the wineries themselves.
Yeah.
But the retail landscape is changing too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Retailers are having to adapt right alongside those consumer tastes and expectations.
Mm.
They're becoming more curators than just sellers.
Okay.
Focusing on you know, smaller, more thoughtfully chosen selections.
So it's about quality over quantity.
Yeah.
Offering a more personalized shopping experience,
mm-hmm,
almost like having a personal wine concierge who can guide you through the options.
Exactly. It's about creating a welcoming and inviting atmosphere, mm-hmm. one that encourages exploration and discovery,
right.
rather than overwhelming consumers with these, endless rows of bottles.
Right.
And knowledgeable staff can guide customers towards wines that suit their palate and preferences,
yeah.
making the whole experience more enjoyable and less intimidating.
I've also noticed that that many retailers are incorporating technology into their stores.
Yeah.
Things like interactive displays, digital tasting notes, and even augmented reality experiences.
Yeah, it's about enhancing that that shopping experience with technology, right?
Yeah.
Providing customers with more information at their fingertips.
Right.
These tools can help consumers learn more about the wines they're interested in,
mm-hmm.
discover new varietals,
yeah.
and make more informed purchasing decisions.
It makes wine less mysterious and more accessible,
right.
especially for those who are, new to the world of wine.
Yeah, sure.
But what about those who prefer the convenience of shopping from home?
Hmm.
The report also mentions this this boom in online wine retail.
Oh, right.
Which is, hardly surprising,
well,
given how much of our lives have moved online.
Absolutely.
Consumers can browse a wide selection of wines from the comfort of their own homes,
mm-hmm.
compare prices,
yeah.
read reviews, and have their purchases delivered right to their doorstep.
It's like having an endless wine aisle at your fingertips.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But with so many online retailers, vying for attention.
Mm.
How are they differentiating themselves and creating a personalized experience for shoppers?
Well, that's where data and personalization come into play.
Okay.
Online retailers are leveraging algorithms to mm-hmm. recommend wines based on past purchases,
right.
browsing history,
okay.
and even taste preferences that they glean from quizzes or surveys.
Wow.
They're offering features like subscription boxes, virtual tastings,
mm-hmm.
and personalized recommendations that that cater to individual needs and interests.
It's like having a virtual sommelier.
Yeah.
Curating a selection just for you.
Exactly.
They're really going the extra mile to create a tailored and engaging experience
mm-hmm.
that goes beyond simply buying a bottle of wine.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, all of these trends, from consumer preferences and marketing strategies to retail innovations,
right.
they're ultimately shaping the future of the South African wine industry.
And that future looks both exciting and challenging.
Yeah.
There are incredible opportunities for growth and innovation, but also intense competition,
right?
And the need to constantly adapt to evolving consumer demands.
It's a dynamic landscape for sure.
It is.
And those who can navigate it effectively will be the ones who thrive.
So what does this all mean for winemakers then?
Mm.
What are the key takeaways that they should be focusing on as they as they look to the future?
Well, first and foremost, know your audience.
Yeah.
Who are you making wine for?
Right.
What are their preferences,
hmm.
their values, their lifestyles?
Yeah.
What motivates them to choose, one bottle over another?
It's about getting inside the minds of your consumers,
yeah.
understanding what makes them tick,
mm-hmm.
what resonates with them on a deeper level.
Precisely. And once you understand your audience,
yeah.
you can start crafting a brand identity that speaks directly to them.
Okay.
What is your unique story?
Mm-hmm.
What makes your wine special?
Yeah.
Why should consumers choose you over the competition?
Right.
It's about defining your brand DNA and communicating it effectively through every touch point, from the label on the bottle to the content you share online.
It's about building a brand that stands for something.
Yeah.
That has a personality, a voice,
mm-hmm.
a point of view.
Right.
But it's also about embracing innovation, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Not just in terms of winemaking techniques,
yeah.
but also in how you approach marketing and reach your consumers.
Yeah, experiment with new new varietals.
Mm.
Explore sustainable practices and find creative ways to connect with consumers both online and offline.
Yeah.
Push boundaries and You know, stay ahead of the curve.
Right.
Don't be afraid to try new things, to challenge the status quo.
Mm.
The wine industry is evolving rapidly,
yeah.
And those who are willing to embrace change will be the ones who lead the way.
But amidst all this innovation,
yeah,
don't forget about the data.
Right. You are, yeah.
Yeah.
Data is an invaluable tool for navigating this, you know, this evolving landscape.
Yeah.
Track your sales,
right.
Monitor your marketing campaigns, and gather feedback from consumers to constantly, you know, improve your offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Use data to inform your decisions, to identify new opportunities, and to stay ahead of the competition.
It's about being data-driven and adapting to market trends, while also staying true to your vision and your passion for crafting exceptional wines.
You've summed it up perfectly.
Yeah.
The future of the South African wine industry is bright, but it belongs to those who are willing to embrace innovation, to connect with their consumers on a deeper level, and to use data to inform their decisions.
Mm.
It's an exciting time to be a part of this this dynamic and evolving industry.
It certainly sounds like it.
Yeah.
And while we could probably talk about this for hours,
right?
Let's raise a glass.
Yes.
To the future of South African wine.
Cheers to that.
And move on to our final thoughts for you, our listeners.
Indeed, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
But we've only just, you know, scratched the surface.
Yeah.
There's so much more to explore and discover in the world of South African wine.
Absolutely.
But as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with a thought-provoking question to ponder.
Okay.
Imagine you were launching a new wine today. What would make it truly unique and irresistible to consumers?
Yeah.
What story would your wine tell?
It really makes you think, huh?
It does.
About what it takes for a wine to truly stand out in this, you know, in this crowded market.
It's not just about what's, you know, what's in the bottle anymore.
Right, exactly. It's the story, right?
Yeah, it's the story it tells, the emotions it evokes, the connections it creates.
It's the whole experience.
Right.
And that's what makes the South African wine industry so exciting to me.
Hmm.
There's this this real sense of passion, you know, innovation and creativity driving it forward.
Absolutely. From the winemakers, right?
Yeah.
Tending their vines with generations of knowledge to the marketers crafting those compelling narratives and the retailers curating those unique experiences.
Mm.
Everyone is playing a role in shaping the future of South African wine.
And that future looks it looks incredibly bright.
It does.
The industry is embracing new trends, adapting to, you know, changing consumer preferences.
Right.
And pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Yeah. And doing so.
Yeah.
While remaining, you know, deeply rooted in its heritage, celebrating that that unique terroir and honoring the traditions that have made South African wine so so special.
It's that beautiful blend, right?
Yeah.
Of tradition and innovation that makes South African wine so captivating.
And it's a story that's still being written, right?
It's
a journey of discovery that we invite you to join.
So the next time you reach for a bottle of South African wine, take a moment to appreciate the story behind it, the people who made it, the land it came from,
right?
The journey it took to get to your glass.
Perhaps you'll even be inspired
to
create your own you know, unique chapter
in the
ever-evolving story of South African wine.
Cheers to that. Cheers. And that's a wrap on our deep dive into the South African wine market of 2025. We hope you found it insightful, inspiring, and maybe even a little bit thirst quenching.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep tasting, and keep raising a glass to the wonderful world of wine.
Absolutely.